Good morning. It's funny, isn't it, how certain incidents from the past can stick in your mind when everything else seems to be forgotten. When I was a teenager, I went to the youth group at my church, Lightcliffe United Reformed Church near Halifax. But I can remember precious little of the activities or discussions we had, apart from one particular evening. That night, the leader brought along a selection of posters, spread them out on the floor, and invited us each to choose one. They each had a verse or a saying on them. And I chose one that showed a sailing ship and had the motto, "A ship in harbour is safe, but that's not what ships are built for." And that's, as a young person, I really liked the implication of purpose and adventure in that saying. However, I now know that if we're not going to say, stay safe in harbour, then there's going to be dangers and difficulties along the way. I still like the saying, but it's a little bit more challenging now. At some point, there's almost certainly going to be storms if we leave harbour. And that very often, we'll be in danger of drifting off course due to winds or currents. And when we are being battered by a storm or drifting off course, we're going to need an anchor. And among the sections from Hebrews that we heard earlier, we had Hebrews 6:19, which says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." So I'm going to very specifically talk this morning about what that means, how it helps us when other things don't. But first of all, I'm going to talk about actual anchors and see how that affects us, relates. So if I mention anchors, you probably imagine something like that. That's a temporary anchor carried by a boat. There are also permanent anchors that look like something like that, much less sexy. They are used to secure a mooring or a dock, but let it rise and fall with the tide. They're used like this. So you can see there's chains holding down those weights and linked up to the mooring above. They'd be no good for taking on a voyage. They're too heavy, and once deployed, you wouldn't be able to move off again. But there are lots of different retractable anchors that are used to hold a boat secure and then brought up again so you can get underway. When an anchor's in use, the flukes hook into the rocks on the seabed or bury themselves in the sand to hold the boat steady. A retractable anchor doesn't actually hang down below the belt. I've got a diagram here. It's actually got to be some way away, and the chain has got to be at an angle of maybe up to 10 to 1 away from the boat, and so that the chain is being pulled at horizontally, which helps it dig into the seabed. Once you want to set sail again, you need to break out the anchor, and to do that, you need to sail towards it and shorten the rope until you're directly above it, and at that point, pulling upwards, the anchor will break out and can be hauled up onto the boat and stored. And on a boat, you would use an anchor to keep the boat in position while you rested, maybe overnight, or to stop it being taken off course and even shipwrecked by a storm or strong current or wind. So that's my little expose of real anchors. So much for boat anchors. What do we mean when we speak about Jesus being our anchor? And how does it relate to those real life anchors I've just been looking at? Well, each of us is on a voyage through life. And I'm going to talk today about how we keep safe on our life, on our voyage, in our life. Last week in our first talk from Hebrews, Jen talked about Jesus being our salvation. And if we follow him, the destination of our voyage is heaven. And our course is daily obedience in serving God and trying to become more Christ-like. But just as a boat or ship can be rocked or even shipwrecked by storms, so we can encounter suffering on our voyage, which can threaten our safety. And just as a boat can drift off course, temptations can capture our attention, allowing us to drift and start travelling in the wrong direction or even end up in the wrong place. But having a hope in Jesus is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, which will save us from suffering and temptation, from storms and drifting. And I'm going to take those two separately. First of all, we'll talk about storms and then about drifting. So, being in a storm, the storms we encounter in our lives are many and varied. Failure, illness, rejection, disappointment, debt, worry, addiction, family illnesses, pain, worry, bereavement, fear, divorce, exhaustion, abuse. You'll have your own private list, your own private examples. And just as a storm at sea can be painful and exhausting and frightening, so too are the storms that we each hit in our own lives. Storms hurt. We need help. So when the storm gets too much for us, we need to drop anchor. We need to rest. We need to recover before carrying on. And there are different things we can use to help us be secure in that storm. And when choosing an anchor, something to help us rest, something to hold us, we need to consider two things. First, will this anchor actually be secure? Or will it leave us in danger? Will it not be secure and hold us still? And secondly, is this a temporary anchor so that we can retract it again and move forward? Or is it a permanent weight, like those used for a mooring, that will stop us moving forward again when we're ready to? So those are the two questions I'm going to consider. And I'm going to look at four different categories of things that we can use as an anchor. The first thing we can use is other people. Family, friends, and they can certainly help anchor us during our storms of life and be great supporters. Unfortunately, they can't be totally firm and secure because they themselves are frail and fallible. They can get tired or sick or even die, so not be firm enough to hold us during the storm. They can be busy or asleep or at work or on holiday, so not available to anchor you when you need them. In some circumstances, we can start dragging them along, as can happen with an anchor, because they're not caught fast in the seabed themselves. And when the storm passes, will other people release you to move on again? Well, usually yes, certainly. Sometimes they like playing the strong one, and they want you to stay weak and anchored in them. And sometimes we actually end up damaging them and can't now set ourselves apart. It can get very complicated. So I would say it's probably best to have something else as a second anchor alongside the other people that are supporting you when the storms get really bad. The second sort of thing we can use an anchor is activities. There are lots of activities we can turn to during a storm to help us stop and cope. We may go out more with our friends. We may stay in more with the TV or the internet. We may drink more or smoke or take drugs. We may work more or exercise more or volunteer more. These things give us the impression of being an anchor, but mainly because they're taking our mind off the storm. They're a distraction. The trouble with distractions is that they don't actually hold us firm and secure. You start slipping, so need more drink or more porn or more exercise or more being busy to try and hold you. They also blur your vision. They distract you to what's really happening to you. And when the storm has passed, if it does, can you stow away that anchor of activity and sail on? Often no. They've become a habit, a permanent anchor that's trying to slow you down perennially or even bring you to a complete halt. Those things that look so appealing during the storm now become dead weights on your voyage. The third thing we can turn to as an anchor is ourselves. We can try and use ourselves to use our own strength to hold us during the storm. Well, good luck with that. Firstly, holding fast and taking the strain during a storm without another anchor is exhausting. There's a danger that eventually you'll snap and fail. I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm not okay. And then the wind or current may sweep you onto the rocks. If you do hold fast during the storm, it may actually be difficult to retract your anchor of looking after yourself and get away again because you're so tired and weak. Or conversely, it may be easy set off again, but you misjudge your course because you're looking at yourself and how brilliantly you coped, rather than focusing on heaven as your destination and daily being like Jesus as your course. So there are dangers in using yourself, although we have to use our own strength as part of holding us firm during the storm. So the final thing we can use as an anchor is Jesus. As we heard, it says in Hebrews, we have this hope in Jesus as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And firm and secure is right. Jesus is completely trustworthy to hold you safe in a storm. Because firstly, he understands what it's like in the storm. He's been tempted and suffered too. He's been through storms himself. Secondly, he understands what a failure we can feel as on the cross he carried all our sins, all our failures. Thirdly, though, he's perfect. He's never sinned himself, so you won't be meeting his needs, and he's strong enough to hold you through the fiercest storm. Fourthly, it's his job to save you. He's the great high priest, so he won't have anything more important to do than look after you. Fifthly, he sat in heaven at God's right hand for eternity, so he will always be there for you. He's not too busy or on holiday or asleep. He's there. And finally, sixthly, Jesus is in perfect relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So he doesn't need you. Much as he wants to love you and be in relationship with you, he doesn't need you. So he'll let you go as soon as you're ready to move on. You're not meeting his needs. So in summary then, when storms hit you, it can be and is painful and frightening. You need an anchor to hold you fast. And nothing and no one can do that as securely as Jesus. You need an anchor, though, that will release you when you're ready to set sail again. And again, nothing and no one will be ready as ready to do that as Jesus is. So turn to him when you're suffering. I promise he won't let you down. Now let's turn our thoughts to drifting. I changed the slide to a more relaxing one. Got that one there. The first thing to say is that while the storms of suffering are painful and frightening, the drifting of temptation is enjoyable and relaxing. In a storm, we either have to work hard to stay on course, or we have to find a safe place and set the anchor. Drifting is lovely. It requires no work and no decisions. Drifting feels good. However, the thing with drifting is that you're almost certainly going in the wrong direction. You're oh so easily and oh so subtly heading for danger, for shipwreck, for running aground, for getting lost, even for never reaching your final destination. Just as on a boat, we drift because we're not paying attention to our course, to a fixed compass point, or a feature on land, or a star in the sky. Something else looks more attractive, more exciting. Something else is easier. Something else is more tempting. As I've said, as Christians, our final destination is heaven, and our course is one of daily holiness, daily becoming more like Jesus. And as Christians, it's very simple. We drift because we're not paying attention to Jesus. You see, it is hard work to give our attention. Other things are easier and more tempting. So instead of Jesus, you start focusing on yourself, maybe. Maybe how hard done to you are, or how successful you are. Either will do to take you off course. We focus too much on our family, our work, our hobbies, our addictions, our holidays. Any of our temptations will do to take us off course. Actually, most of us here will be drifting to a greater or lesser extent. We're all fallible, after all. Australian Christian leader Christine Kane, speaking in March this year, listed six ways to know if you are drifting. She said, you know you're drifting if you've stopped resting in Christ and started striving for things to go a certain way. You've stopped working for Christ and started watching other people work. You've stopped pressing in to get nearer to Christ and started coasting along. You've stopped gathering with other followers of Christ and started isolating yourself. You've stopped revealing your problems to Christ so that he can heal you and started seeping your hurt. Or you've stopped enduring the storms of Christ and started yielding to temptation and giving in easily. I'd say that a very simple way to work out whether you're drifting now is to compare yourself with when you first became a Christian or when you were most fired up for God. How do you compare? Are you really pressing in or are you coasting? Are you still talking to God? Are you still eager to join in with God's plans? Are you keen to get together with other people of God and talk about God together? Are you opening up to God? Are you believing in God and his ability to see you through your journey? As I said, most of us here have probably drifted a little bit. As I've written the sermon, I've realised that I'm drifting quite a lot. Some of us will have drifted so far that our life is almost unrecognisable from the one we had. A few of us are actually travelling completely away from God right now, probably. If we're honest, you know that one of those descriptions refers to you too. So brothers and sisters, if you are drifting today, I encourage you to join me in grabbing hold of your anchor and dropping it down onto the seabed and moving along until the anchor catches securely. Dropping your anchor is not fixing everything right now. It's just stopping drifting. It doesn't require you to make rash promises to do anything different in future. It's just stopping drifting any further in the same wrong direction. Once you've anchored, once you've stopped, you've got a chance to check your position. In a boat, you'd be trimming your sails, refueling. For us, we might be getting advice, support, sleep. And in due course, when the time's right, we can pull that anchor up and set sail in a different course. We've already seen that Jesus is a safe and retractable anchor in a storm. He'll both hold you fast and let you go when you're ready to sail on. Because a storm's frightening, we automatically want to drop an anchor. But because drifting's so relaxing, we often don't realise the danger we're in. But it can be just as dangerous. So we do still need to drop that anchor. And some of us need to drop it really urgently. So what I want to finish by is going into the practicalities of how we use Jesus as an anchor. It sounds nice, but what really is it? How do we use him as an anchor on our voyage of life, whether we've realised that we're drifting or we know we're going through a storm? And from Hebrews, I've picked out some of the verses that help us think about how to reach out to Jesus and have him hold us firm and secure. First of all, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, the writer quotes Psalm 95, this verse, three times. Three times in the course of a page and a half. I can't think of anywhere else in the Bible where they quote the same thing three times so quickly. So that's obviously something that he thought was really important. So today, if you're drifting or in a storm, God will be speaking to you. You need to listen and take notice. Don't try and justify the wrong course you're following. Don't harden your heart. We've all fallen short. Just listen and take notice. If you want to listen and you can't hear Jesus speaking to you, open up the Bible later on. I suggest that because we've been looking at Hebrews at the moment, turn to Hebrews. But open up the Bible, and it says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If you're willing to listen, God will speak to you through his word. Next, ask Jesus for help. He wants to help. He wants to be your anchor. He says in Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. He wants to help. He wants to see you so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is there waiting for your request to be anchored, to be held firm and secure and loved. He's simply waiting for you. And then Hebrews 3, it says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest we confess. If you don't want to drift off course again, pay attention to Jesus and what he's saying to you. Just as a sailor fixes attention on a compass point to stay on course. Day by day, fix your thoughts on him. What does he want you to do today? Our journey can be hard and we do often drift off course. So another thing is that we need to help each other. Again, in Hebrews, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceptiveness. Encourage one another. Check out on each other. If you see somebody and you think they're struggling, they're slipping, they're in a storm, be there to support. Encourage them. And finally, as we've talked several times, the opening verse that we've focused on, we have this hope in Jesus as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So praise the Lord that we have that security, that certainty, that anchor for each of us. Praise the Lord that our journey's end is heaven, for all of us that try, however falteringly, to journey on and follow Jesus. Praise the Lord that he is there to hold us in the storms of life's suffering. And praise the Lord that if, when we drift off course because we focused on other temptations, then Jesus is always there to secure us and help us find our way back to our true course. Amen.